Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verses 10 through 11. And it reads as thus: We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even until this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. How awesome is a word, is a scripture like that? We have no certain dwelling place. In the last few weeks and the next few months to come, we are exposed to an insidious virus called the coronavirus. We are experiencing a new way of life that we could not envision 6 months ago. This virus has disrupted our daily lives in ways large and small. Information and circumstances about this virus change on an hourly basis. Many times, most of us are in a state of paralysis and disbelief as we continue to follow the impact of this virus and the precautions necessary that we have to do to protect our loved ones and ourselves, even our communities and our church folk. Our economic situation is in disarray, and nobody knows how long this situation will last. But I'm here to tell you today, saints, know that God is our refuge and a very present help in time of trouble. As Christians and ministers of the gospel, we have a reputation for strength in times of crisis and many times past in devastating situations. The world has always looked to us, to the church, as a fountain of strength, physical and spiritual, and as a resource. We must continue to be the resource and always point the way to the cross where Christ is our source of our strength. As a church body, we are actively engaging and managing through some difficult times. But we are extremely confident that the God we serve is in control. Our church staff continues to carry out the office responsibilities. And even though no solutions are perfect, we will find a way to be the church and care for those in our congregation. Even if we don't physically come to the building on Sundays or Tuesdays or Saturdays, as we wait for this virus to dissipate, we are still the church. Although we entered into a confusing time as a nation and a world, we can continue to trust in the Lord's guidance, his peace, and his providence. So until we can physically return, we will live stream the sermon. We will use audio and use our app to give you the message. We will continue to seek and improve the ways that we can communicate and fellowship with one another. I encourage you on Tuesday nights between 7:30 and 8:30, Bible study will continue. On Wednesday night, I want to combine the prayer between the men and the women on a conference call so we can pray together one for another. That time will be moved to 7:30. And nothing that we do can brighten anybody's day except when you call them and let them know that you were thinking of them and praying for them. And once again, I want to thank you for honoring God through your tithes and your offerings and continue to show the support for this ministry. The Bible compels us to still be the church, regardless of any situation. Not forsaken, in Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, not forsaken the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. However the meeting is to be conducted, it is to be conducted. We are meeting as a church right now through a different venue than what we're used to. And I want to say to you right now, there's different churches doing different things, but I believe in the safety of our seniors, our children, and of each other. Amen? So given the present situation, What is it doing to us as a church? Our new Christian normal is that it's making us more disciplined as a church. Our new Christian normal is making our intimacy with God a little stronger. Our new Christian normal is getting to know God seriously. So many times people come to church to see friends and not to seek God. But where we are right now, you are in an isolated place where you must seek God on your own individually until we come together as one on prayer lines and conference calls. So what is the church? I had a meeting with some people, pastors, and even though we have different philosophies about what we was going to do, in my mind somewhere, we lost the fact that the church is not the building, but the people are the church. And when we look at the word church, the church in the translation of the Greek is ecclesia, and it means assembly or congregation or meeting. I can tell you right now, there is nowhere in the world that buildings are meeting with one another. So a building cannot be a church. When Jesus Christ declared, "I will build my church," in Matthew 16 and 18, it wasn't something that was unfamiliar to the listeners of the day. In the New Testament, the word strictly refers to the congregation of believers in Jesus Christ. There were synagogues, but they wasn't the church. There were temples, but they wasn't the church. There were chapels and tabernacles and buildings of any other meeting place, but they were never called the church. The term is always referred to us meeting together as Christians. We may not be able to access our local assembly building at this time, but we are still the church. We are the church that covers all borders, all ages, all time periods, and all languages. We still have the ability to operate as a church by continuing to give, to love, and serve one another. Even if we don't come to this building, we have an all-powerful and an all-loving God that is outside of time, and you can't fit him in this building. He'll come by the building. He'll send his spirit by the building, but this building cannot contain God. God will still provide a way for us to care for our church. We are the church. As born-again Christians, we are the church. As born-again Christians, we gather as a local assembly of believers. Many of the spiritual problems we have as a church are the result of people not understanding who we are as a church. I venture to say that sometimes there's an identity crisis going on. This morning, I want to help you understand exactly who we are as the church. By understanding who we are as the church, we can better understand how each person who call this church home should be behaving. Matthew 16 and 18 says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter was a stone. The Lord changed Peter's name, changed Simon's name to Peter, and that name Peter means fragment of a rock. So Peter was not the stone, he was not the rock, but he was only a fragment of the rock. Amen? The large rock is Jesus Christ himself. The large rock is an immovable mass, which is Jesus. Peter's own words attest to the fact that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. So when we go to the scripture in 1 Peter 2, second chapter, verses 6 to 7, Peter writes, "Therefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, believe that he is precious. But unto them which he be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. What that means is that Jesus Christ is the foundation stone, or the fundamental truth of Christianity. Jesus Christ is the central truth, part of Christianity. Jesus is the sure foundation. He said, whoever believe in him shall not be confounded. So what is a cornerstone? A cornerstone represents stability. As long as Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of this church, there will be stability. As long as Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of this church, there will be strength in this building. So it is with the church, the strength must be in Christ alone. The cornerstone represents beauty. When you look at cornerstones, there are ornaments and there's a certain marks that they give to it to make it that you can recognize that it's something different about that stone than any other stone. The cornerstones usually are graceful pieces of stone. The cornerstone is usually pretty rich. So when we look at Christ, our cornerstone, we see that he is gracefully rich. We see that he is a precious ornament. We see that he gives us beauty. This cornerstone that all buildings have, it is the stone that every wall around the building is built upon. When you move the cornerstone, the wall falls. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, and the walls of his church shall never fall. The stones of other parts of the wall might be different sizes and degrees of beauty, but that cornerstone is the ultimate stone of beauty. It is the ultimate size, the biggest stone in the building. Some said to Jesus when he cursed the fig tree, they wanted to know why he cursed the fig tree. Well, he cursed it because it was in season and it was unfruitful. So this was a passing moment. But on the next moment, when the disciples passed by that tree again, they had saw that it had died. And the disciples said unto Jesus, well, Jesus, why? What happened? Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, move unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. So when we look at the answer that Jesus gave to them, it is a very unusual answer. We would expect Jesus to give a different type answer than that. But when Jesus gave that answer, his answer was simply believe and have faith in God. Jesus understood that if he broke it down and he told the disciples everything that he meant at that time, that they would not get it. So he powered it down by just saying, have faith in God. You see, Jesus accomplished his mighty works through the power of God resting upon him. And the power was his because of his perfect and absolute union with the Father. In order to have the power that we need to have as a church, we got to have and work on having perfect and absolute union with the Father. Christ was never ineffective. Christ was never impotent like the disciples. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Configuration, the disciples were telling them that they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they couldn't get the demon out of somebody. And Jesus told them that you have to sometimes, this kind of demon, you have to get rid of with prayer and fasting. Amen? Jesus was never out of touch because he was never out of touch. Whatever it is that he needed to do, the Father would give him the instruments, give him the instructions, and guide him to where he needed to be and what he needed to say. Our Lord went on to declare war by stating the following things. Our faith can remove mountains. Amen? That if we believe in our heart and if we say it, it shall come to pass. So we're looking at things like this virus and we're being paranoid and paralyzed over it. But I believe that the God that we serve is going to do a new thing. I believe that the God that we serve, it's all in his plan. Amen? It is amazing that so many people feel left out because they can't come to the building. But the building is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to go out and make disciples out of everybody. We can't do it in the building. We can't even do it sometimes over the internet or talking on the phone or on prayer lines. We can't do it that way. In order to reach this next generation, the tools that we have to put into place now, we're being forced to put it into place because that is the communication that our next generation is using. That is the communication that the enemy is using to reach out to them. That is the communication that the devils, that the witches and the warlocks are using right now to reach our children and grandchildren. And we don't have a hold on it. And God is breaking down walls. He's breaking down barriers and forcing us to do what we need to do. God, it has been said that if you don't get out when God tells you to get out, he'll kick you out. And it appears that God has kicked us out of the sanctuaries and the buildings. And we are forced to use the methods of communications that are valid today, that will reach more people than expecting people to come into the building. Jesus says the removing of mountains is no impossibility. I say right now, for us to go to witness in China is an impossibility. But the methods that we can use right now can reach China. I say that the methods that we have been using, it's hard for us to reach India. But right now, even so right now, there's somebody somewhere in some country that might flip on to this station and hear something that they never would have heard. This reinforces that with the all-powerful and invincible God that we serve, when we use everything that he gives us, the gospel is unstoppable. This is the victory that we need to have to overcome the devil and the world. So I say to you today, wherever you are, whatever it is that you're going through, remember this scripture. And it's amazing because in 3 days, I've heard this scripture over and over again. I've used it, but other people have used it. I've heard it in a meeting yesterday. And we must remember this as we continue to go through this situation, that no matter what, that God is our refuge and our strength, that he is a very present help in trouble. That means that whatever it is that we're going through right now, he is right here with you. He is right here with us. No matter where you are, he's right there with you. When you are going through trials and tribulations right now, maybe you can't reach your pastor or your partner in prayer. Maybe you can't reach your daughter, your son, your father, your mother. But right now, if you call on the name of the Lord, he is ever present right there to help you. Therefore, we will not fear. The biggest thing that's going on right now is fear. And when fear invades the world, they come to the church. Now, as a church, we cannot be scared. We cannot have fear, amen, because our God has told us that we should fear not. He says, though the earth be removed, I believe right now there's some movement going on in the earth, and some things are being removed right now. The normal earth that people have recognized for so many years is being removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, if you don't believe that the mountains are being carried into the midst of the sea, you need to look at the Antarctica right now, and you see those mountains of ice that have been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years. They're starting to mount. They're starting to melt right into the sea. Those things are being happening right now. Though the oceans and the waters roar and be troubled, when we see the tsunamis and everything that's happening right now, though the mountains shake with its swelling. How many times have we seen in Hawaii all the earthquakes and everything that's going on? There is a river whose streams shall make the glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. In the midst of her, she shall not be moved. So no matter what's going on in the earth right now, no matter what's going on in the world right now, no matter how many viruses are going on, how many earthquakes, tsunamis, all of these things, God, his city shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. It might be dark right now with everything going on. When you look at the news and you listen to the reporters, they make everything dark. They make it so there is no hope. But the Bible tells me just at the break of dawn. The break of dawn is when the light starts coming in and darkness shall be no more. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So I say to you today, keep faith, have faith in God, keep believing, keep being the church. People are going to come to you. They're going to ask you for prayer. And if you're supposed to be a Christian and you got fear and you're not praying, what does that say about us as Christians? What does that say about us as the church? What does that say about the gospel of Jesus Christ that we've been preaching for hundreds and hundreds of years? I stand on the word of God today. I stand on everything that he has said to me. I stand on his precepts. I stand on his promises. The promises of God are yes and amen. And I know that even though we face some difficult times, we're going to come through it. We're going to come through it because God is our strength and God is our refuge. So I ask you today, wherever you are, to bow your heads as we pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we give you praise and we give you honor. Lord, we thank you right now for what you're doing, because we should always thank you regardless of what the situation in our eyes that we see, regardless of what we feel in our emotions, Lord, because we know that you are in control of everything. Lord, we are seeking your face right now for direction. Father, we realize why some people are closing the church. The government and the world has not said that we cannot have church. So I want those that are out there that are saying the government is closing the church. The church is not closed. Because when God opens a door, no man can close it. And when he closes one, nobody can open it. God opened these doors, and he will not allow it to be closed. Even in the times of the disciples, they might have moved from area to area, but they believe, Lord, that you have given them a mandate to preach the gospel to the whole world. So, Father, we stand on the same faith that those disciples had at that time, because I believe that you said that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if this is the same God that was back then and had all the miracles created, all the miracles done, all the healing, all the deliverance, I believe that right now that this God that we serve right now can do all of those things. So, Father, those out there that are healing, that are hurting, healing is in the air. I believe those that are fearful right now, that if they believe in Christ and believe that he died on the cross and rose the third day, that we have nothing to fear. So, Father, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And when somebody asks us, where is our God? I pray in the name of Jesus we can, without a doubt, stand on our feet, square our shoulders, and say, my God is still on the throne, and he's still in control, and he's still in charge. And wait and see how the glory of the God is, of our God is going to come through. So we bless your name today, Lord. We magnify it. We give you praise and we give you honor. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to serve you on this day. And we praise your name and give you all hallelujahs. In Jesus' magnificent name, amen. May God bless you and may he keep you until we speak again.